Let's just praise him for a little bit. Let's just clap our hands. Let's lift our hands. Let's get in tune with God. Lord, we love you tonight, Jesus. We praise you. We exalt your name, Lord. You're an almighty God. Lord, we just ask you to be in this place with us tonight, Jesus. We know we've come here for a purpose. You've set us here for a reason. Lord, you have a plan, and your plan is perfect tonight, Lord. We exalt your name tonight, Jesus. In your name we pray, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'm here glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, I don't want to keep you too long tonight. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Chapter 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8. How many are glad for prayer? I don't know about you, but prayer is needful. Your spiritual man will die without prayer. Your spiritual man will die without prayer. We have to pray. We have to seek God's face. Prayer is communication with the Lord. Prayer is something that is needful. If you want to progress in your relationship with God, you're going to pray to him. You're going to talk to him. You're going to converse with him. You're going to have relationship with him. And so in verse 26 of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it says like this. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Anybody ever gotten to that place where you're just groaning and you're in such deep prayer that you just break down? There's no words that can describe the way you feel. You get into that mode of where you're such in tune with God and God is talking to you and you're just pouring yourself out and all you can do is cry and weep and make unction unto the Lord. And so verse 27, it says, "And he that searcheth the ears, the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that," what? "Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justifieth." How many are glad the Lord justified us today? He justified you and I. "And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" How many understand we believe in one God? We believe in one Savior. His name is what? Jesus Christ. He gave his Son, only begotten Son, on a cross so that we might have eternal life through him. Verse 34, we're going to end verse 34 here. Says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And tonight, I want to talk about the prayer of an intercessor. The prayer of an intercessor. Let's lay our Bibles down. Let's call out to God tonight. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, we ask you just to bless this message, Jesus. We ask you to be in this place. We know you're already here, but we want you to move, Jesus. We want you to do something special in this place. Lord, we believe for it tonight, God. Lord, we ask you just to move in a mighty way. Lord, touch my lips. Lord, help me to deliver your word. Lord, how you seem fit in this place. We just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And let the church say amen. Amen. The prayer of an intercessor. We've heard that term multiple times. Some may have heard that phrase, the intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Intercession The word intercession means simply the act or the action of intervening on behalf of another. So you take place of someone else. There's a man named Charles Spurgeon. He said this quote, and it hit me pretty deep, Brother Don. Hit me pretty deep. It says, he said this. He said, "If sinners be lost, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned or unprayed for." Let me understand that tonight, church. We can't let anybody leave these four walls without being unwarned or unprayed for. Let me understand that. We got to pray for people in this place. We got to. If the church is going to grow, we're going to have to pray for what more people to come. We're going to have to pray for the seed to be sown into their hearts. I mean, understand the church is that of a church that ought to intervene in the time of trouble. The church should ought to be a place where we come in here, and we take action, and we stand up for one another, and we take the place of someone in prayer, and we offer up someone else's name in prayer. This is why we have prayer requests during services, because these people are in need. How many understand that tonight? These people on the board are in need, and we ought to pray for them. We ought to intercede on their behalf, and we ought to pray for them when they can't pray for their own self, when they don't have the strength. How many understand? Sometimes we just don't have the strength to even muster up a prayer. Sometimes we get so mentally confused, and we get so down and out with our trial or with our situation that we don't think about praying sometimes. We think about doing it on our own. We think about talking to our own mind, and we think in our own mindset, and we say, you know what, I can figure this out on my own. How many understand we got to have a God in our life? We got to have something. We got to have someone that's praying for you and I. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for you. That's why you're in these seats tonight, is because somebody prayed for you. I'm so glad somebody took the time and somebody took the effort and somebody said, you know what, I'm going to forget about my own life and I'm going to pray for Joe McKee because I may not know what he's going through in his life. And so I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. Because let me tell you something, church, serving God can be difficult at sometimes. We need each other to lean on. We need each other's prayers to lean on in a time of trouble and time of turmoil. The word intervene means coming between as to prevent or alter a result or a course of events. It means to step in and say, hey, wait a minute, this is going to go a different way. Hey, wait a minute, I expect this to go somewhere else. And the one thing I want to be able to do in my prayer life is to change the course of my expected outcome. That's one thing I really strive after, Brother Paul. I don't know about anybody else, but in my own personal walk with God, I want to be able to pray, and I want that prayer to be able to change things. And we're gonna read through a couple portions of scriptures here, and we're gonna find out that your prayer can change some things. Your prayer can change the course of Satan's role in your life, and it can also change the course of God's role in your life. It can also change the course of God's role in your life. And so Romans chapter 8 reveals that even though sometimes we don't know what to pray for, God knows, because he is the Spirit that lives and dwells inside of you and I. I mean, you ever get to that point where you're in prayer and you're like, God, I don't know what to pray for, but you just start pouring yourself out and you just start mentioning things, but then all of a sudden the Spirit takes over and you just start coinciding with God and you start relating to God and there all of a sudden you just are wrapped. You feel like you're just wrapped in his arms, and you feel like he's just holding you right there, and you almost don't even have to talk anymore. You just, when you pray in the Spirit, you start praying in other tongues. We believe in that in this place. We believe in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in the sign of speaking with other tongues as God gives the utterance. And so the Lord will step in on our behalf when we don't have the words to say sometimes. That's why the Holy Ghost is so vital to obtain. Is because when words can't explain how you feel, Brother Jediah, that's when the Holy Ghost takes over. When you pray in the Spirit, it will make intercession for that which cannot be put into words. We've read scripture, he is an intercessor. The Lord is an intercessor for you and I today. If we go to the book of Isaiah, and if you forgive me, I'm operating off my phone. the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Chapter 53, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12 says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor." I mean, understand, at some point or another, you and I are the transgressor. You and I were the transgressor. But how many are glad that he made intercession for you and I on the cross? He died, he poured out his blood and shed innocent blood for you and I, that one day we can be with him for eternity. He is the intercessor. The Lord was numbered with the criminals. He was identified as a problem to the people. How many understand that? When you read through the Word of God, you understand that the empire back in those days, they had the Roman Empire, they hated Jesus. Even his own people turned him over to the council. And they said, you know what? We want him crucified. We want him put on a cross. And it's so easy to get caught up in the hype of this world. It's so easy to get caught up in the hype of sin. It's so easy to get caught up in the hype of this world. So the crowd chanted in favor of putting him on the cross. If it wasn't for him lowering himself to our level, he couldn't feel our pain, church. He couldn't feel our pain if it wasn't for him who lowered himself. He couldn't feel our suffering if it wasn't for him lowering himself. He wouldn't be able to suffer how we suffer. He wouldn't be able to understand, you know, how I feel, or my inner thoughts and my emotions of how things affect you and I today. Because he took on the form of man and has gone through everything we go through, he can change the course of our lives. He can change the course of our lives. Not you, not me. I can't change it. Only through prayer. But it's through Jesus Christ who has the power to change it. He himself came to this world to intercede and change the course of humanity. That's why he was born. You know, his own disciples thought, you know, Jesus, they mentioned this throughout Scripture. Of, hey, when are you going to overtake the Roman Empire? When are you going to overtake the council? When are you going to overtake everybody? You're supposed to be the king. What's going on here? Why are your people still bound? Why are your people still ruled over right now? You're supposed to be the one that's going to lead us into victory. Little did they know, he came for a spiritual victory. He didn't come for a natural or a carnal victory. He came for a spiritual. How many want a spiritual victory in this place? You can leave here a victor in God tonight. You can leave here a victor tonight. Isaiah chapter 59, we're not going to read the whole entire chapter, but this chapter talks about the evil and the unjust. The evil and the unjust. The word says he was wondered that there were no intercessors. I want to stand true and to the faith and stay strong for the people who are weak and feeble. Let me understand that. We got to stay strong for the people who are weak and feeble. It's time we become as a pillar in the church, and it's time for when new converts come into this place, they can lead on you and I. And they can say, hey, can you pray for me in this situation? I don't want my dirty laundry aired out to everybody in the church, but I need you to pray for me. I need you to be there for me. I need you to intercede on my behalf. Sometimes I feel weak. Sometimes I'm feeble-minded. And sometimes I don't know the right prayer to pray, or I don't know the right words to say. I need your help in this situation. I need your help in this manner. We ought to be there for the new converts in this place to say, hey, you know what? I'll step in on your behalf. I'll say a prayer for you. I'm here for you, sister. I'm here for you, brother. I'm going to pray for you on your behalf. I'm going to intercede on you on your behalf. And so Isaiah 59 talks about the evil and the unjust. The evil and the unjust. I'm going to read it. 59, chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, and that it cannot save." Let me believe that tonight. Amen. "Neither his ear his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity, your lips with spoken lies, your tongue with muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like does. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered. Here we go. And wondered that there was no intercessor. I don't know about you, church, but I don't want the Lord to wonder if there is an intercessor in this church. I don't know about you, church, but I don't want the Lord to wonder if he has an intercessor in me. I want to be an intercessor. I want to be someone that's going to say, hey, this is what we believe in. This is what we stand for. This is the principles that we abide by. This is what the church believes in. And the church isn't going anywhere. I don't care who transgresses. I don't care who sins. I don't care who goes which way, but the church is going to stand. And I'm telling you right now, church, we ought to have intercessors in this place. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Those that give up and say, I can't take it anymore, I want to be there for them to pick him up and carry him and say, hey, you can ride on my coattail for a little bit. You can grab me by the hand and I'll lead you. I'll help you. Brother Mikey, I'll help you. Sister Ruby, I'll help you. You know, that's what we ought to do. We ought to be able to lower ourselves to them like Jesus did, like your God did for you. We ought to lower ourselves to those who are in need in a time of trouble and in a time of distress. Are you willing to stand in the gap to pave the way for someone else's breakthrough? So many times we get caught up in what we want from God. So many times I'm going to be transparent with you tonight that sometimes I get caught up with praying about my own needs too much. And the Lord convicts me in prayer and says, hey, wait a minute, it's not all about you. It's about everybody else. If you start praying for somebody else, the Lord's going to do something for you. I'm a firm believer in that. The Lord loves when you have concern for other people. The Lord loves and he looks down on you and he smiles at you when you take in consideration someone else's need over your own need. And so we ought to understand that tonight. And in the book of Acts chapter 12, I know I'm jumping through a bunch of different scriptures here tonight, but I believe they're needful for what I'm speaking on tonight. And I know it's a little slow service here, but I believe God is wanting an intercessor. I believe God needs intercessors. I believe God needs people to pray for other people. Acts chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. And these are some examples of some intercessors. And some may say, well, you know, all I got to worry about is me, myself, and I. You know, when you read through Scripture, when you read through this Word of God, you'll find out that the majority of the leaders in this book prayed for more than just themselves. That's what leaders do. They lead other people. They bring other people with them. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 12, we're going to read here. It says, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. This is when the persecution of the church was going on after Jesus' death, and the disciples were kind of scattered, and they were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and everyone was out to get him. They were trying to kill him all off. It says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword by Herod. Verse 3 says, and because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. What a sad situation. He saw that the Jews were happy that James, the brother of John, was killed. God's chosen people, the Jews, were happy about the disciple James being killed. So Herod said to himself, you know what, I'm going to take it a little further here. I'm going to kill Peter as well. I'm going to try to kill Peter as well. So then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him, who is Peter, in prison and delivered him to four quaternions, if I can say that word, quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in a prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'll say that again, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. I mean, understand, when you start praying, things change. When you start, I don't care what kind of prison you feel like you're in, and I don't care what kind of stronghold, what's got you bound, what's got you oppressed, depressed, what's got you mentally blocked, what's got you messed up, confused, prayer can change that. The prayer of the people can change that. You may feel like your prayer isn't changing things, but let me tell you something. You bring it forth before the church, you have the church backing you. You have God's church. You have God's chosen people backing you in prayer, and it will change. Light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter was confused. He's like, what's going on here? You know, I'm supposed to be in this prison. I'm supposed to be bound. What's going on here? I don't know what. How in the world is this happening right now? I feel like I'm just in a vision. I feel like this is fake. I feel like this isn't real. But verse 10 goes on, it says, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate, that which leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent in his angel. Now I know that God has showed up in my time of need. Now I know that the Lord, because of somebody praying, the Lord showed up in my prison. The Lord showed up in my problem. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and of all the expectations of the people of the Jews. See, the Jews expected that Peter was going to die as well. But it changed things. It altered the outcome of the situation. Verse 12, it says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. And I want us to hone in on this last verse of this portion of Scripture. It says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Anybody catch on to that? They were still praying when he got back. They were still praying. They didn't stop praying. They prayed until the situation was resolved. I mean, understand that. We got to stick with our prayers tonight. I mean, understand that prayer of an intercessor is someone that's praying constantly until the outcome changes, until there's a different outcome, until the situation gets better. I'm not going to stop praying, Brother Jediah. Until something happens, until something shifts, until something breaks, I'm going to keep praying, Brother Caleb. I'm going to keep praying. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to look unto God where my help cometh from. If you have your Bibles still, we're going to go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 32. Book of Exodus, chapter 32. Exodus, chapter 32, verse 11 through 14. We're going to read a story about Moses and the children of Israel. Verse 11 says, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and consume them in the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. So Moses is talking to the Lord in prayer here, and he's saying, you know what, Lord, the children of Israel are gonna start saying, you know, you brought them this far just to destroy them in the wilderness. Just to destroy them. Because they were going through so many different trials and so many tests once they made it out of the Egyptians' bondage. And Moses is saying, the children of Israel are going to say, hey, you brought us to the mountains, what, to kill us? You brought us this far to destroy us. Anybody ever thought about that sometimes in your own life? Lord, you brought me this far for what? Lord, why? We get into the motives sometimes where we start blaming God for this and for that. And we say, Lord, we start questioning the Lord. And Lord, why have you got me? You got me past this, but now I feel like I'm never going to get past this. So this is what Moses was saying about the children of Israel. He was he's praying on behalf of the children of Israel. He was saying, turn away from thy fierce wrath, Lord, and repent of this evil against thy people. He wanted to destroy the children of Israel because of their lack of commitment to the Lord, because they turned to false gods, because they turned to praise and worship of Baal, and they started acting riotous and crazy. And so it says, verse 13, it says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all of this land that I have spoken of will I give you, give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. I mean, understand, Moses, when he prayed to the Lord, it changed the Lord's mind. It changed the mind of Jesus Christ. It changed the Lord. I mean, understand, your prayer of intercession on somebody else's behalf can change the mind of God. It can shift the hand of God. It can help somebody in this place. And so there's no telling what the power of an intercessor can do. An intercessor can change the outcome of a situation. Moses prayed to God on behalf of the children of Israel. The Lord was wanting to take action, and he threatened to destroy them. But Moses prayed to God, and he altered the course of God's plan. If you scroll down and go down to verse 31 of the same chapter, verse 31 of the same chapter, and this is the portion of Scripture where Moses and Aaron... Moses and Joshua go down, and they go down to to be with the people after the Ten Commandments were given to them. And they go down and they experience that the children of Israel are worshiping Baal, and they start worshiping a golden calf. And Moses is so angry, but he also is in a place where he feels sorry, and he starts to intercede on the behalf of the children of Israel for a second time. It says, verse 31, it says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin." He's asking, he's begging God to forgive their sin. He said, "Lord, forgive their sin that they're committing unto you, God. We know this isn't right. I know this. I know they're causing you to have anger upon them. But Lord, you've got to do something. You've got to change the situation, Lord." And he starts to intercede on their behalf, and he says, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray. Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." He flips the script and says, "Lord, even if you don't do that, blot me out. Blot me out of the book. I want to stand in the gap of somebody. I want to stand in the gap of those that are in sin. I want to stand in the gap of someone that's hurting, that someone that feels like they can't get out. I want to be there in prayer for them. I want to uphold them. I want to lift them up. I want to be there for a child of God." He said, "Take me instead of them." We ought to have that mindset, church. Take me instead of them. Take my brethren instead of me. We ought to prefer our brother in Christ. We ought to prefer our sister in Christ. And as the musicians want to come, I'm gonna wrap up here in these last few portions of Scripture. Or if you have your Bible still, we'll turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, and we're going to go to chapter 22. Luke 22, and we're going to read verse 31 through 32. Luke 22, verse 31 through 32. So this is where Simon Peter, he tries to fool God, and he says, "Lord, I will never deny you." This brought back some Easter play vibes when I was reading through this. I almost had to put my Jesus beard back on. I'm joking. That was a joke. You can laugh on that one. I'll let it slide this time. So verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." And we understand that today, Satan has a plan for you. The devil has a plan for you. Just like God has a plan for you, Satan also has a plan for you and I. "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail thee not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So even Jesus himself, he says, "You know what, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail you." We ought to pray that way. Brother Kyler, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail you. Brother Jacob, Sister Maddie, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail you. I'm praying for you, Brother Eli, that your faith doesn't fail you. We ought to be like that in this place. Brother Carl, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail you. We ought to have that prayer, that mindset, that motive of saying, you know what, we got to prefer someone else other than just our own faith. We got to be there for one another. And if you have your Bible still, we're going to go to the book of Job. The book of Job. Job chapter 1. We're going to read verse 5 through 12. Then you can stop slobbering on me. Job chapter 1, verse 5 through 12. says, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about that, Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. And he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence thou comest?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Can I tell you tonight that Job made intercession for his sons after their feast by offering up a sacrifice to keep them pure and upright? He made a sacrifice for his own sons during the feast, during the celebrations, because he was worried about all the naughtiness they were doing. He was worried about all the craziness they were doing. He was worried about what kind of trouble they would find themselves in. Can I tell you tonight, we ought to offer up a sacrifice of praise for somebody else. We ought to offer up our own sacrifice for somebody else. This act demonstrates his concern for his children's well-being and to protect them from divine judgment. How many understand tonight? We ought to be concerned about each one another's well-being. If the church wants to stand tonight, I'm gonna come to a close. Whether you feel him or not, God is in this place. Whether you're in the mindset, in the mode of prayer, God is in this place. I don't know about you, church, but we can change the outcome through our prayer, through our intercession. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He gave his life. He surrendered everything. He gave innocent blood. He was a lamb without spot or blemish. And he died on Calvary's hill of sorrow. I mean, anybody in sorrow in this place? Anybody in turmoil? Anybody in stress? I'm in stress. I have things in my life that stress me out. I have things in my life that cause me to have some sort of disbelief and distrust in God, just like anybody else would. But can I tell you, in this place, if we just intercede, and if we start praying, and if we start getting real, and we start telling God, "Hey, you know what, I'm not the only one that's going through some things here, Lord. You are the one that can change it. Only you are the one that can do it." I mean, you're glad for some intercessors in this place. I want to be an intercessor. I want to pray for somebody else. I want to consider my brother rather than myself. Thank you, church.